Hi, this is Asha Piper, and you're listening to the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. My name is Lou Lombardi, a.k.a. Ludini, and we have a great story for you guys today. Today, we are going to be meeting and hearing the story of Asha Piper. Asha composes singular fusion of adult contemporary pop, encompassing jazz harmony, smoldering vocals, and adventurous musical textures. I kind of put her in the sort of album adult alternative sort of category, if you had to categorize it for some reason. But it's really great music. We're going to play the song Voices a little bit later on, which is just, it's infectious. You're going to walk away from hearing the song just humming the refrain and singing the refrain over and over. It's just one of those great songs like that. Anyways, you are listening to Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. Our website is LudiniRockandRollCircus.com. Check back often for new interviews. Our music podcasts, which are becoming wildly popular, we go live now on Monday nights. Myself with Lily V6 of Rock Rage Radio, we pick a crazy topic, we mix it up with you guys live on Facebook. We play a lot of great music that you know. So funny because last week we did it, and I had people like going like, "You renewed my faith in rock and roll." I'm like, "That's what we're here for." So it's great to hear stuff like that. But you guys want to check it out? You can get all the information at LudiniRockAndRollCircus.com. So check that out. And so let's go ahead without any more delay here. Let's meet Asha. Asha Piper, welcome to the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus.
Thank you so much for having me. It's nice to be here.
Great. Okay, Asha, first of all, where are you calling in from?
I'm calling in from Toronto.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And have you lived there your whole life, or where are you from there originally?
No, I moved here about 5 years ago. I grew up in Alberta,
okay.
In Calgary, Edmonton, yeah.
Oh, so you are, but you are from the Great White North. You are from Canada.
Yeah, I was born and raised in this very cold landscape. I've yet to acclimate to winter. It's supposed to kick in at some point, but no, not yet.
I still haven't got acclimated to it. No. I have a good friend, actually I've interviewed several Canadian artists. There's a guy maybe you know up from Canada who's made a little bit of a splash. His name's Ed Roman. Do you know Ed Roman?
No, I don't.
I'll hook you up with him. You love him. He's a great, awesome. Yeah, he's a really great songwriter. I think you guys would have a great rapport. Anyways, sorry, audience. Asha and I are just talking. Just relax. It's all going to be good. So tell us, you grew up in Alberta, and
yes.
So tell us about the beginnings. Like, you're obviously like this amazing singer-songwriter, and you have this great style. So, but and obviously you're very passionate about what you're doing. So, you know, that isn't just a passing interest in music. That isn't just like, oh, I sing it karaoke on Tuesday nights. This is like something you're really doing. So how did it come about that you got bit by the music bug?
Yeah. It's a bit interesting because my family isn't especially musical.
Okay.
My mom moved to Canada from Kenya, and my dad is a first generation. His parents moved here from Holland after the war.
Okay, great.
So they're both like, you know, I don't know if for other like first, second generation immigrants, I think, you know, the focus in your family is really on getting a nice, good, stable job.
Okay.
My dad personally doesn't really like music. He finds it very aggravating, so he'll turn it off.
Really?
Yeah. But I did piano lessons, and then kind of went into vocal lessons, did some violin, some guitar and stuff when I was growing up, just sort of recreationally. And I had a real passion for theater, actually. And through theater, I got into musical theater, which just got me more into music. But I didn't really get bit until, I think like most people, you kind of hit your teens and music becomes sort of an identity for you. And then when it was time for me to go to university, I kind of really freaked out. I had this massive panic attack over, you know, oh, I have to pick this degree and figure out my life at, you know, 17. And I wound up taking a year off and just working, moving out. And that freaked out my mom enough to allow me. My uncle had suggested this music program at Grant MacEwan in Edmonton and suggested that I audition, which I did. And I was entered into the program. And I think for my mom, was just kind of like, okay, well, she's in school. That's the first step. Next step, she'll switch her major, maybe go into law, and everything will be fine. Yeah.
She'll settle down and, you know, find a nice job. Yeah, good.
Exactly.
Respectable, yeah.
Yeah, she's still waiting on that, so sorry, Mom. but I did the program, and then they had a satellite school in Nova Scotia, so I went there to complete my degree as a jazz major. So I did that, and then I took a couple years off from music specifically because it's scary. Like, I don't want to be poor my whole life because I don't come from like a family that is integrated into the arts or really knows anything about the entertainment industry or arts industry at all. It was really terrifying because I was doing it on my own. So I did an internship at Universal Music in New York, and then I was hired at Universal Canada in Toronto. So I did that for about a year. And then
what did you do? Stop for just a second. What did you do at the internship, and then what was this job that you got at Universal in Canada? Was it singing? What were you doing? I'm a little confused.
No. It was just any, like, a corporate gig.
Okay.
So the internship was really great. I did a lot of, I mean, it's intern pay, so it's not exactly reflective of what an entry level job would be.
Okay.
It was like a lot of research. Harry Wanger was sort of the head of my, the section that I worked in. So it was mostly like Motown, jazz. Mm. I did a lot of like recon stuff for compilation remakes and things like that, which it was so awesome. I basically got a nerd out in their vaults and go through a bunch of old Impulse.
Wow, sounds like a dream job.
Yeah,
especially for you with the interests that you have. You know, got yeah.
It was definitely that was a highlight, and then it kind of it was less interesting the stuff that I did at Universal, but
okay.
But I mean, whatever, it's like, what can you do? You have to work your way up.
Right,
it's a big company. So, you know, like any big corporation, they have, you know, it's corporate. It's corporate work. There's not really that much creativity. So I worked as what was my job title? Strategic marketing assistant.
Mm.
So I basically like ran reports and did whatever my bosses who ran mostly like compilations, classics and jazz, which in Canada is very small, small sector. So like lots of reports and scheduling and booking trips and that kind of stuff.
Okay.
And then I was just really unhappy. The workplace was great, but it was just really, it wasn't creative enough for me.
Yeah.
So I took another year off and just kind of was trying to figure out what exactly I wanted to do. And, you know, over that period of time, I did a lot of jazz gigs and I had like a jazz duo and just did that kind of stuff. And then I began work on what I thought was going to be the first EP and did that for, I think, over the course of a year or so. And I just still didn't really feel like I'd found my voice as an artist, although I was really developing my writing skills. And then in 2015, I participated in a program run by Coalition Music, which is an artist entrepreneur. And there, it really helped me kind of cement my focus on my writing style, what exactly I wanted to do as a project. And then shortly thereafter, I started working on this first EP, including the songs that I sent and voices.
Okay, so let's take a little step back because you obviously love jazz. So let's talk about that, you know, because I have had a few jazz artists on here, including I interviewed Larry Coryell, who is a really well-known jazz guitarist, you know, who kind of came to prominence in the 70s. And so tell us about your passion for jazz. Why jazz?
Yeah, man, jazz is just, it's so rebellious. Like the roots of jazz are all about kind of like creating your own sound, whatever you're sort of feeling in the moment. And I love the immediacy of it. You know, like when you're in high school, you kind of, I think everybody kind of rebels a little bit. And
right.
There's just something so raw and immediate about it. I love that. I mean, you have to really know your stuff. Like I'm a bit of an academic. I just love swallowing as much knowledge as I can. So being able to kind of nerd out in harmony and that stuff on my own is really fun. And then the fact that to me, jazz is all about, it's just about reacting in the moment as you're on stage and really communicating with your band members and in reinterpreting your music in as many different ways as you can. Yeah. Never singing something or never playing something in the same way, and just kind of being true to yourself in the moment. That really, really speaks to me.
So far what I'm kind of gathering from your story is that being true to yourself and being your own person is really important to you. You're sort of taking a different path from your parents. You already said that your dad really doesn't like music at all. And not only did you do that, when you got into music, it's not like you are like out there trying to be, Linda Perry or something like, not Linda Perry, Katy Perry, Linda Perry. That's showing my age now. Katy Perry or somebody like that. You are, and the reason you say you like jazz is because it's rebellious. So I'm seeing this sort of theme of your life of like, I want to take the road less traveled. That's great that everybody's going over here and doing this, but I think I'm going to go over here and do this. Do you feel like your music quest, along with your love of jazz, is part of you sort of carving out and trying to discover who you really are as a person?
Yeah, I think we all, kind of struggle or strive to live as our most genuine selves. Hmm. And I think that for myself, I love music of all genres. I listen to pretty much anything that strikes me.
Right.
But I just found for my own creative process, writing distinctly in the pop sort of top 40 radio world just didn't speak to me.
Yeah.
And so I really had to explore what that means. And as an artist, it's you always do have to strike a balance between the palatable and sort of what you're creating, but it's, I don't know. I have a really, I'm a horrible liar. I'm a bad pretender. So I think it's less of a choice and more, that's just kind of how I am as a person.
Yeah. Well, we're going to go ahead and play the track Voices, the latest single here, because some of my audience might be getting nervous because we keep talking about jazz.
Yeah.
No. Because what Asha creates, guys, is it does have that element to it, but it is more. There's more going on with this, and I think you're really going to love this. Like I promised you guys, this is a really great tune and it's super catchy. So check this out guys. This is Voices by Asha Piper on the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus.
Looking back now, it's over and done. Took a chance, wound up running out of time and love. So much easier living inside these lies. So much easier living inside these lies. Then the sound of our voices break through the dawn. All questions hanging on to broken vows. We forget how started a spark. We let it burn out. So much easier living inside these lies. So
left us straight.
much easier living inside these lines.
Okay. That is a really great tune. You know, the refrain gets, you know, just kind of da 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 da. That's like stuck. You know what I mean? Yep. That gets into the brain. You know, that's awesome. So, talk a little bit about the your sort of writing process, and then we're going to get into the creation of the EP and the videos and stuff like that.
Yeah, sure. So I'm also really inspired. Like, as I mentioned, my background. I had a background in theater, which meant that I listened to a lot of, you know, like Broadway and musicals, which got me deeper into classical music and just instrumental composers. So I'm really obsessed with like repetitive motifs, especially in classical music, and like layering for texture.
Mm-hmm.
So voices, the writing process for voices was actually, it was really simple. I think that I wrote the entire song in, oh my God, 10 minutes at 3 a.m. It just kind of flowed out. But typically what happens is I write kind of 10 versions or 20 versions of the song. And as I refine the writing process, the concept of the song sort of clarifies itself.
Okay.
And then when I actually sit down to write it, it just kind of comes
What starts it? Do you start with like a lyrical idea or a melodic? Because you said you like melodic motifs. So I'm assuming you start with music. But is that how you start? What do you start with?
I start with mood, typically.
Mood, okay.
Yeah, so if voices for me kind of feels like a chant, like a just like re-internalizing the same sort of feeling.
Yeah.
And so I think I start with that. I usually actually start with the first verse, weirdly enough. Like I write very...
linearly?
in a linear fashion, because it sort of develops the narrative as I'm writing.
Okay.
Yeah. So for voices, it was literally like I started with a looking back, now it's over and done, and then realized how I wanted to, that the song sort of just fell into that structure.
Okay.
I knew I wanted it to be very cinematic. I wanted it to have, you know, the build be based off, because harmonically it's very simple and very repetitive.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted the build to be through, you know, texture and instrumentation, and then just be held down by that simple musical line.
So you have the EP is out. It's done, right?
It is not out.
Not out. Okay.
Yeah. Surprise. We're just finishing it up. Actually,
okay.
This
great.
Month.
Okay. So let's. So before. Okay. So the only reason I was asking is I want to get to who did you work with on this, because you collaborated with some people on this.
Yeah. So the process essentially is I sit down and I write and I figure out mostly how I want the instrumentation to be. I'm working with my sort of musical director. His name's Greg Gooding, who he has his own jazz label called G3. And I met him actually through an ex-professor of mine from St. FX, who has sort of functioned as a really great mentor. He's a, you know, multi-instrumentalist, composer, heavy jazz guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he introduced me to Greg, and we just sort of, initially I was just looking for some help with grant writing, actually. And then as we got further into discussion, I started talking about the project that I was trying to do. And so he's been really my go-to, where I can bounce musical ideas off of him and structural stuff. And then once I have the tune done, I will do a scratch demo on my computer. So I'll, you know, kind of arrange all the parts that I want, and through Logic mainly is what I work through, and my keyboard. Figure out all the arrangements, the vocal arrangements, that do up a chart. And then I've been mainly working with a pianist, Stacey McGregor, who's a jazz pianist. And we go over the chart and sort of discuss any changes, any structural things. Then it's very old school the way that we do it. Then we'll meet with the band, we have a rehearsal, we go through the chart, play everything through.
Yes, it sounds like the 50s, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And then I'm all about, I really love space, like the hearing the sound of the recording space.
Yeah.
So we will record usually the rhythm section, which is typically, you know, drums, bass, piano, and then I'll do a ghost vocal. We'll go through until we get a cut that we like. There's very, very little comping mostly. It's pretty much straight through, and then go through, and any little bits that we need to refine or edit, we do that. And then for voices, for example, because we had the string parts, we actually I worked with a violinist and arranger named Tanya Charles, and gave her sort of my poorly arranged string parts, and then she refined it and made it to the beautiful music that you heard.
Right.
And we had them, we recorded it in the basement of Marty Smith, who is a sound engineer, and he works out of this church basement in Forest Grove, which is like northern, the north part of Toronto.
Okay.
So far. I live downtown, so anything like more than five blocks, I can't do it.
okay.
We assembled the entire string ensemble and just recorded it. He's got this great, beautiful space in the basement and just mic'd everything up, recorded it live, and
it's sounded great. You have some videos as well. Can you talk a little bit about the video process and this? Because video, as we all learned, and you're very young, so you probably don't know if you remember this or not. But when MTV came on, like all of a sudden, our singers, our favorite singers and bands, had to also be pretty good actors. It was a huge thing. Like and there was a lot of bands from the 70s that just they could not cut it in the 80s. They just did not have that whatever. They did not look good on camera or whatever, but you definitely have. And it seems like today's artists have found more ways, no matter what their look or sound is, to kind of communicate video. So talk a little bit about the video process for you, because you have a couple of good ones.
Yeah. Oh, thank you so much. I think in general, our video language or aesthetic language is a lot stronger and more in depth than, you know, the generations previous, just because we all have cameras on our phone, and everything is so documented, and everything has become so visual because it
makes sense.
Integral part. And because I did have a background in theater and acting, I used to extra work. I'm pretty comfortable in front of the camera.
Yeah.
And I love being involved in the visual process. It typically starts with, I know some videographers, so I'll reach out to them and kind of discuss concepts, send them the song, and I like to work very organically. So I trust my gut. If it feels good and, you know, the conversation flows easily and we seem to kind of be having a nice symbiotic relationship, then we go ahead. So for history, I had a videographer that I knew from when I was working on the first EP that I dumped. And I reached out to him asking if he had anybody in town that he'd like to recommend, and turned out that he was actually going to be in town around the time we wanted to shoot, so we discussed concepts. We actually shot the video at my aunt's house in Elora, so my family is awesome.
Cool.
Took over her house for a weekend, and all of the kind of background that you see is just their place. It's crazy beautiful.
It came out great. Something I kind of want to reach out to you about or kind of bring up is because you have such a passion for jazz, do you think, or I'm not even saying that it's even conscious, so maybe it's a subconscious thing, because there have been some bands over the years like Steely Dan and Toto and some of these acts that have really kind of like snuck in. Nile Rodgers talks about doing this on a lot of the records he's produced as well, sneaking in sort of jazz things into pop. You know what I mean? I think that the artist, the South African artist Sade, kind of does that. And is that sort of like on your mind? Do you kind of feel like you want to revolutionize this thing a little wee bit?
Maybe kind of. I really miss. I feel like there's. Sonically, the music has just become so linear, so like chord changes don't go anywhere. You're hearing the same sound essentially for 3.5 minutes. Like the melodic structure is really beautiful, and I love the kind of rhythms that we're hearing a lot more in mainstream music. But I just miss like really good songwriting, you know, hearing the really strong structure of a song. And the thing for me about jazz and having that harmonic foundation is that it just colors the melody so beautifully, and I think really brings out more of the quality of it. And it's to me, jazz is, it's so cross genre. You can have influences from, you know, traditional tribal music from all over the world, different textures and instrumental sounds, different rhythmic things. I love swing. I hate singing straight. It's just, to me, it just lacks so much emotion and pull. So those are elements that I definitely pull in when I'm creating music or when I'm singing, and definitely live, you know, that aspect again of improvisation and reacting in the moment and kind of allowing that emotional freedom when you're reinterpreting the music is really important. But I don't know. I feel like everything is so kind of crossed and muddled now. There's not like a clear delineation. Mostly when people think jazz, they think like jazz standards.
Right.
Think, you know, maybe like Latin jazz or that's tight. But I think that's too tight to me. Like, you know, all of the great jazz, Nina Simone is probably my biggest influence. And she doesn't really do straight ahead jazz. And even when she does standards, I mean, she's like a classically trained pianist. So you can hear that reflected in the way that she builds her playing. She has, I wouldn't say like, she's definitely not like the best singer, but she's got such a quality to her tone and voice and such a raw depth.
Yeah.
That just everything that she, every sound that she makes is so, it just draws you in.
Yeah.
And I think that combination between, you know, kind of a technical depth and that realness that you know, it's music, man. It's like, it's all about feelings and stuff. So it's, as long as I think that message is coming through, then to me, it doesn't really matter if it's jazz or if it's more pop influenced or if it's, you know, classical, whatever. It's music.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Now is the time on the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus where you get to plug all your stuff. So tell everybody where they can find you, what's coming up, all that good stuff.
Yes. Okay, so I've released two singles from the upcoming EP, History and Voices, which are available for purchase on iTunes, available to stream on Spotify. The videos themselves are on Vimeo and on YouTube, and if you just Google Asha Piper, all my stuff comes up. You can... what else was I going to say? Oh, yeah, the EP. The whole point of that. So you can view that. I will be posting an interview that I did about the Voices video, the creation behind the Voices video, as well as a live studio session of History in the upcoming weeks. I will also be releasing a new single that is not on the EP, but it was a collaboration with pop producer Rob Wells. We will be doing a video for that, so you can look forward to that in February leading up to the EP's release. The EP will be coming out April 6th, so it will be digital only at the moment, but we will be doing a promotional vinyl release. So if you just follow me on Facebook, Asha Piper, Twitter, Asha Piper, Instagram, Asha Piper, P-I-E-P-E-R, you will get all the updates.
Excellent. All right, cool. So that's how everybody keeps up with Asha and everything that's going on. Asha, do you have I'm going to finish out the podcast. You got a minute to hang out. I need to do a little business with you when we're done here.
Totally.
Awesome. All right, guys. Asha Piper, and let me go ahead and give you that, spell it all out for you. It is ASHAPIEPER.com. And from there, you can check out the videos and jump off to all the social media stuff and everything. AshaPiper.com. Check her out. Beautiful song, voices. It was just, you know, I put that on to listen to it to prepare for the podcast. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like I let's play that again. I want to hear that again. So it was just kind of one of those addictive tracks, which I love when that happens. For an old rock and roller to say stuff like that, you know, it has to be great stuff. So check that out, AshaPiper.com. Guys, you've been listening to Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. Check us out. We are, again, we are just like Asha. We are everywhere on all the socials, Instagram. You can find us at Instagram at Lou Lombardi Music, and on Facebook, you can just follow me, Lou Lombardi. You can also just find us, Ludini Rock and Roll Circus, on Facebook, Twitter as well. Also, guys, the podcast shows up on all the social media channels, as I was saying. Please share it. See, when you share the podcast, it's not about promoting the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. It's about promoting these amazing artists like Asha Piper. So you listen to somebody like Asha, and you go, like, wow, that really spoke to me. Like, I love her story. I love the music. Let's help her out. Let's get the music out to as many people as can. Because if you love it, your friends are probably going to love it. Other people that you know, their friends. So it helps to get the word out and helps to promote. So this is something you can do. People say, well, what can I do? This is a simple thing. Just hit that share button when you see it. We're on iTunes. Actually, we're number one music podcast on iTunes. We're easy to find. So please subscribe to the podcast, share it around, and let everybody know about it. If you are interested in delving a little deeper into the whole rock and roll process, you want to know more about my songwriting process, my album production stuff that I do, my guitar playing, my singing, my songwriting, you want to participate in that, help me design my new album cover, things like that, you can go to loulombardimusic.com/innercircle. You can join my inner circle right there. You get a lot of goodies, a lot of behind the scenes stuff, some podcast outtakes and everything that aren't available to the general public. So just check that out at loulombardimusic.com/innercircle. All right, guys, thanks so much for hanging out with us today. Thanks to Asha Piper for being here and sharing her amazing story and the amazing music. And guys, I wanted to keep something in mind here as we part for today. It doesn't matter, guys, if you love Nina Simone or Asha Piper or pop music or metal, or you're living in the Great White North, or you're living at the equator. It doesn't matter. No matter who you are, where you go, just keep this in mind, my friend. You, yes, you are the revolution. Lou Dini Rock and Roll Circus. We'll catch you guys on the next podcast.